This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sports with Balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Oh, yeah. Cole and the Gang, featured artist Friday. I remember this song. Get down on it, Vinny.
This was Cave-In song.
Want to get down?
Yeah, we do want to get down.
What you gonna do?
Sing it, JT. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Cole and the Gang. Jamming to them all day long. Hour number two of the show. It's Vinny and Haney, Nolan McGraw. Featured artist Friday. Football Friday. Ravens 8.5-point favorites at Cleveland. Ravens won 5 in a row. The Browns have lost 5 in a row. What's the name of the stadium? Huntington Beach or some nonsensical... Huntington Bank. Yeah. Flows off the tongue, doesn't it? Like Yankee Stadium or Camden Yards, Huntington Bank Stadium, where all these epic contests have been played. But the Ravens are trying to keep their momentum rolling, and here to preview the game from the Baltimore Banner, let's welcome back, as we do every Friday, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning. What is happening?
Morning, guys. And remember, you need some capital to fund the worst contract in sports. So I applaud the Browns for taking that thing.
That's right. I think Deshaun Watson might own half of Huntington Bank, as a matter of fact. But from an injury standpoint for the Ravens, the injury report has some star-studded names on it. What's your concern level with some of these players, in particular some of the defensive guys?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I would imagine that they keep Marlon out just because you don't want to throw him back in too soon. I'm also a little bit concerned about Travis Jones, just based, I don't know if you guys saw some of the footage from practice yesterday, but that big boy was not moving especially well. Obviously a good sign that he was able to go out there with the ankle, but again, you know, had a guy 330 plus pounds, whatever he weighs, it's maybe asking a lot of him to play significant snaps or to be any good with an ankle injury. Just wasn't really looking all that explosive. You know, obviously Nate Wiggins is fine. They're going to get back Arthur Mollett and Jalen Armour Davis. So you feel good about those guys, even though you would like to have, you know, the best member of your secondary, maybe the best member of your defense, Marlon Humphrey, available. But, you know, considering just the state of this Browns offense, I don't know if you're sweating bullets that much. And then I guess, you know, I still think we'll probably see Zay. I think they're just, you know, the fact that he was able to play as much as he did on Monday. And I think there were situations last year where he had an ankle and they gave him, you know, Wednesday and Thursday off, and he was back out there on Friday. And he looked, you know, fresh as a daisy on Sunday. It wouldn't surprise me if that is the case in about an hour's time. But obviously, again, another guy that you really can't, you know, You really can't throw into harm's way because of how important he is to this offense.
Hey, Jonas, how does Keaton Mitchell look out there running around?
He hasn't done a whole lot of running. You know, on Wednesday it was just a walkthrough and wasn't really doing a whole lot. He was on the far field, so it was kind of tough to separate him from, you know, like Justice Hill I guess it. Derrick Henry's pretty easy to identify, so it just doesn't sell. But, you know, he looks fine. I don't think he's anywhere close to full speed. I think there was a slight hitch in his giddy-up from what I remember on Wednesday. But to me, honestly, the most entertaining part about seeing him back out there is just the size disparity when he's standing next to Derrick Henry.
Now, Jonas, Cleveland blitzes more than anybody. I'm guessing they're not going to change for the Ravens. So, to me, this is going to be about blitz pickup, and it's going to be about the receivers winning one-on-one battles because they're going to get a ton of man coverage. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and obviously that's what makes the Zay Flowers situation so particularly crucial. I mean, obviously, you would – Denzel Ward, I think, has clearly been the best cornerback in that room.
Yep.
And it looks like the other two guys who last year were so good and made that defense so good.
Emerson.
Have really not – yeah, Emerson and Newsom. And Newsom have just not done a good job. I mean, you know, so I would imagine that they kind of lean into that high variance strategy of just trying to blitz a lot. But listen, I mean, Lamar's on a heater right now. He's got man beaters with Rashad Bateman. He's got man beaters with Mark Andrews. Even though Cleveland defense tight ends really well. The offensive line is picking up stuff really, really impressively. They didn't really blitz Lamar all that often last year, which is kind of interesting. Obviously, he wasn't really in a position to in that first game in Cleveland. I think he was like 10 dropbacks that Lamar got blitzed on in the collapse in Baltimore, and Lamar was fine. You know, he scrambled a couple times, maybe took one or two sacks, but he hasn't really been super adversely affected by Jim Schwartz and that pressure package. But I think probably the most interesting stat that I found from looking around before this game was, you know, Cleveland's really faced two like super dual threat quarterbacks this season, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts. In both games, both got blitzed exactly 50% of the time. So that could be a bit of a preview for what we see Sunday. That's just an absurdly high rate. And maybe you know, Jim Schwartz goes that way again, even though it really did not work out for him in either game.
Now, Jonas, with Cleveland's O-line, I mean, both tackles are on the injury report, limited or have not practiced. The center, same thing. And the O-line has not been playing well at all. I mean, 35 sacks they've given up, and now, you know, you've got a quarterback that really doesn't move at all. What are you expecting the Ravens to do defensively? Do you think, you know, they get after him a little bit more, play man coverage because they're not that worried about the receiving core? You know, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that would definitely be a wise strategy. I mean, and Vinny, it's not just the sacks that they've given him. I think they've, like, you know, you look at those guys individually, and it seemed like every single one of them has been flagged four or five times this year. I think they
lead the league in penalties offensively.
Yeah, but that offensive line, I think in particular, I think it's given up 24 penalties, and I think Jameis will be a little bit better about avoiding pressures turning into sacks. I remember seeing some incredible statistic for Deshaun Watson where it was like a quarter of all the times that he was pressured, he was sacked, which is just an incredibly unsustainably bad rate for a quarterback. I mean, Lamar is just like at 3% this year. I mean, what Jameis wants to do is pump the ball downfield. You know, he's always been a guy who's been near the top of the NFL and just chucking that thing. And he's going to need some time if it's like a 5 or 7 step drop back to be able for those routes to develop downfield. So, I think the Ravens pass rush needs some juice. I think the Ravens need to show that they don't need to be, you know, particularly active on that trade market. The four man pressure looks just have not really been all that productive, even though the sack numbers have been okay. Because it's, you know, as you're kind of alluding to, Vinny, if these guys can't get home, especially against these tackles, especially if Jedrick Wills isn't even playing and it's DeJuan Jones, then I think the Ravens have to feel like they have to go and get another piece.
Yeah, I've been a little bit disappointed, you know, this last couple games. With Ajabo, he really hasn't done anything at all, you know, and Owe had a nice pass rush, and, you know, he had a nice sack last week. And then Ngakoue, he needs to show me some more counters and some more moves. They just need to get to the quarterback a little bit more. That's why I think, you know, we may be seeing Millett and we may be seeing Kyle Hamilton in the sack category this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's the disappointing part about this pass rush plan is we haven't seen those easy schemed up nickel blitzes where the guy is just untouched and, you know, blowing up a quarterback on third medium. I mean, how many times last year did it feel like Mike McDonald had his finger on the pulse and knew when to bring in a Mollett or a Hamilton or a Marlin and get to the quarterback, even if that he couldn't do it with his front four. But, I mean, to your point, Benny, about just the general state of the pass rush, you know, just looking stuff up, they were last year they were, I think, sixth or seventh in pressure rate with four or fewer pass rushers. So not needing a blitz, just trying to get home with their standard four. Maybe there's a simulated pressure or two in that mix. This year, I think they're down to 26th. So it's about a 10% percentage point drop off. And I think you've really felt that in the second half of games where, you know, yes, every once in a while there will be a sack and, you know, they'll knock Baker Mayfield behind the sticks or they'll knock Joe Burrow behind the sticks. But there's too often that they've let these guys been able to sit back, you know, enjoy the scenery, get from their first read to their second read to their third read. And the defense in the back end has not been strong enough. It's not been buttoned up enough that, you know, you can really live that way. And so I think the Ravens need to find a way to get that pass rush. We know Chuck Smith is one of the best at his job, but there's been not enough kind of individual brilliance nor like team execution for things to be popping off at the way that I thought they would be.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, covers the Ravens and obviously the National Football League. Quickly, Jonas Schaefer, trap game, yes or no, Baltimore 8.5 at Cleveland.
I guess a little bit. I'm still picking Ravens by, you know, 13 points. I think I have 27-14. I know it's a, you know, divisional game, so you kind of throw out the record books, but this Cleveland defense has not been anywhere near as impressive as what it was last year. The offense has been historically awful. The offensive line can't run block. I don't know if they can pass block. And the wide receiver core is worse, noticeably worse than what it was when it started the year. So this should be a get-right game for the defense. And if it is, then I don't see how the Ravens don't win this comfortably.
Jonas Schaefer, enjoy your weekend. Have fun with Cleveland, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Jonas.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Jonas Schaefer, everybody. It's the whip around coming up next. What happened in the world of sports last night? A lot. We'll get to it as much as we can. And then Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Basketball starts in less than 2 weeks. We'll get into that. And then Maryland's at Minnesota coming off that dramatic win against USC. Speaking of trap games, live dogs, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Maryland.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It could be that.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the Whip Around here on this Featured Artist Friday. Cole and the gang jamming to them. Get your song request to the Plaza Port text line at 410-583-1057. NBA last night, Wizards season opener down in D.C. against the defending NBA champion Celtics. Boston already had a win under their belt, blowing out the Knicks on opening night. And then, last night against the Wiz, Jason Tatum, we were kissing his ass yesterday, did some ass-kiss-worthy stuff. Your Celtics fan.
Tatum again going to work on Sarr. Welcome to the league, Rook.
Sarr got kind of worked a little bit there on that one. Second pick in the draft by Washington. That was NBC Sports Boston. On the call, Jason Tatum, 25 points, 11 boards, 6 assists. Jaylen Brown at 27. Bob Carrington, Baltimore's own first-round draft pick out of Pitt. He had 3 points, 3 boards, 2 assists there. Wizards lose 122-102. And was watching most of the first half, and they were hanging. Then in the second half, they, got blown out, shall we say. Things were, the final score was not as close. You know what I mean? The finals, it was worse than that when it was all said and done. How about Oklahoma City winning at Denver? Nolan's favorite player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. At 28 points for the Thunder, possibly the best team in the NBA this year. Aaron Wiggins, Maryland, he had 15. Is his game's going to go to a new level this year, we think. Minnesota beat the Kings, 117-115 in Sacramento. Julius Randle, he's had a nice little start to his T-Wolves career. He had 33 points, 5 boards, 4 assists. Kevin Huerter, back from the shoulder, he had 2 points, 4 rebounds. Alex Len, former Terp, he had 3 points and 2 boards himself. But it was Minnesota getting the win. How about Klay Thompson going off?
Yeah.
6 threes last night for Dallas as they get their win last night. College football last night. Well, Pitt took on Syracuse. Kind of got lost in the shuffle of everything going on in the world of sports. But Pitt, 6-0, undefeated. And they were 4.5-point favorites against the Orange. Because they used to be the Orange Men, then everything got politically correct. Now they're just an Orange.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they're not the Orange Men anymore. They're just an Orange. Bing Crosby is smiling somewhere. Boo, 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 boo. Get that orange down there. But anyway, the Orange were in a very giving mood in the first half against Pitt to this level.
Allen motions out of the backfield. McCord looks left. It's intercepted. Touchdown. Rasheem Biles.
ESPN on the call. Not just one interception return for a touchdown. Because my Uncle Dave Rommel, first team All-Metro pitcher for Poly, big horse racing guy. When you say pick six, he loses his mind. Pick six is a horse racing term. Pick six is kind of a new football-y thing. But they had not one, not two, three interceptions returned for touchdowns, Pitt did, in the first half.
Aye.
Some teams, Vinny, I'm guessing a lot of teams, don't get three for a season.
Yeah,
they had 3.5, 41-13. Pitt blows out Syracuse. They're now 7-0. 7-0 for the first time since 1982, Dan Marino's senior year, where they were number one in the country, lost at home to Notre Dame and Jerry Faust.
No. Foge, how did you do that?
Foge Fazio replaced Jackie Sherrill, who split for Texas A&M.
Foge was at my wedding.
So that's what? 42 years ago. So the Pitt Panthers doing their thing. This day in sports history on the Whip Around, Vidiot Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is October the 25th. How about some boxing? 34 years ago tonight in Vegas, Evander Holyfield drops a right-hand bomb on Buster Douglas, wins the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship. Douglas himself had taken it from Mike Tyson earlier that year in February. So Holyfield, the real deal, won the heavyweight title for the first of many times he would do that. World Series winners on this date, 1987 at the Baggy Dome. Twins beat the Cardinals 4-2, win the series in 7 games. Sweet Music Viola was most valuable player. That was a World Series where the home team won every game. 2-4 in Minnesota, because it's 2-3-2.
Right.
And then 3 in St. Louis. So the Twins would win it 4 years later in 91. And in 2003, hey, maybe it's a sign of things to come. At Yankee Stadium, Josh Beckett took the Yankee bats and stuck them up their hineys. 2-0, final score. Marlins win the World Series in 6 games. Hard to believe that's been 21 years ago. But World Series clinchers taking place on this day, October the 25th. When we come back, Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTypes.com. Find out what's happening in College Park. Maryland football off to Minnesota tomorrow, 3:30 kick. You can hear it on the Fan, FS1 for your viewing pleasure. Maryland 3-point dogs in that game. Basketball tips off men and women within the next 2 weeks. We'll preview that a little bit more. And some recruiting news for football, good, but attrition with the portal as well. We're here to talk about the moneymakers, baby. And speaking of Cole and the Gang, the original bass player for Cole and the Gang was a white kid out of PG County. His name's Keith Cavanaugh from TerrapinTimes.com. What's up, Keith Cavanaugh? And they let you play with them corduroy OPs and everything you used to wear back in the day.
I didn't even know I was in the band. I must have been tripping big time back in the day. But Cool and the Gang, I did see 4 or 5 times live growing up in D.C., but I digress.
There you go, Cap Center, I'm sure. All right, Keith Cavanaugh, before we get to the win against USC and how this might catapult things, or maybe it's just a blip on whatever negative radar we're looking at. Attrition with a football team, but additions as well. Recruiting good news and then portal news at quarterback. Tell our listeners about it.
Well, Bob, are you just glossing over that huge win over Southern Cal?
I didn't even hear you mention that. Yeah, we got that. That was a week ago. Proceed with the current news.
But we haven't spoke since then. But anyhow, I like how you're, you know, dodging the high water mark of the season already. But anyhow, yesterday from your esteemed alma mater, or 2 days ago, Calvert Hall, you did, what, 5 or 10 minutes there?
I was there for a year. I made a year. I'm in a yearbook.
Well, the Terps recruit class gained 2 more Calvert Hall players, twin brothers Isaiah and Elijah Hammond. One is a 6'5", 275-pound DLOL. The other is 6'2", 205-pound hybrid linebacker safety. One is 3 to 4 stars, the lineman. The other's, you know, kind of 2 to 3 stars. But Isaiah had offers from, you know, BC, South Carolina, West Virginia, Pitt, and Virginia Tech. His twin brother, Elijah, his main offer was Charlotte. But you get 2 more locals, class up to 23. The class is ranked as high as number 18 in the country, according to ESPN, though most people use the other indices, which have, you know, 25 or 26, but 18 will take it. So the class continues to grow. They were both at the game. They both stormed the field like Bob Haney did afterwards. And that's what happens. You win like that and guys can pop right away. They've been longtime leans to Maryland, but hadn't even been out to a game yet. We're at that game, stormed the field afterwards and committed, you know, soon thereafter. So that's very good. Wins like that can do that.
Now, you speak of the win, USC come from behind, dramatic. Billy Edwards scoring the touchdown to get it done. Hose kicks the extra point. Let's be honest, I don't think all of us were 100% confident that was going to take place. But what does this win mean other than, yeah, they're 4-3, first conference win? I mean, the season changer, where are you feeling? How are you feeling about this one, Keith?
Yeah, the 3 biggest takeaways. You're talking about, I lost you there from that Southern Cal game, signature win over Blue Blood program. No, they're not having a Blue Blood type season. Okay, they're not your father's USC, Oldsmobile, like your old pop's lime green Pinto he used to drive back in the day. They're not your father's Oldsmobile USC.
It was a Granada. Lincoln Rollins. It was a Granada.
Yeah, that's it. It was a Vega. But clearly, Lincoln Riley's on the hot seat. But number two, they didn't tank the season. They didn't fold up tent like a, you know, a cheap lawn chair after the 2 bad losses, Northwestern and Indiana. So they had some resiliency. And it was on national TV. But the most important thing, perhaps boding well for the future, 20 of the 21 Terps commits were at that game, including Malik Washington, who's one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the country. You go out and lose that game and get humiliated and get run off the field like a lot of people thought might happen. You could have had guys decommit right and left. That's where this season has kind of been. So now you pivot to Minnesota. Now go out and take the next step. Steal one on the road. You're an underdog. Minnesota's coming off a bye week. Minnesota's 4-3. They're very stout up front. they lack at the offensive end, but they make up on the defensive end. Top five defense, yards allowed per game, and top 10 in points allowed per game. Their offense is 116th in the country, though. You know, they have the portal quarterback from New Hampshire, Max Brosnan, who's solid but unspectacular. But every time Maryland plays Minnesota, it's all about the lines because they're just so dominant there, and they haven't really fared well up there. But now you got to go and steal one on the road. Then you get five wins. You'd be one closer to a bowl win, six. Rutgers is clearly tanking, so that's winnable. The other games are going to be very problematic. But every time you see a Maryland game, it seems like they always count that on the wrong end of situations. This time against Southern Cal, they're going for all those fourth downs and convert most of them. Shockingly, they go for that two-point conversion and convert it. And playmakers finally stepped up and made plays. Wheatland's hit at the end of the game, that might be the hit of the decade. That sealed that game. Donnell Brown's blocked field goal, Scruggs pick and long return. So those guys made Miller Moss look very pedestrian after the first quarter. And dress down USC, you know, maybe the travel, maybe overlooking them and so forth and so on. But you immediately see guys committing, nobody reneging, which Maryland was clearly in a gray zone there recently, having lost kids each of the last 2 weeks. But Billy Edwards, he was throwing darts, and they got much better pass pro. Andre Roy had his best game. So, you know, it wasn't your typical USC game, but it was a huge symbolic, significant win on homecoming. and all those recruits in the house. You got to preserve the class. But Minnesota's going to be a tough, stout team, particularly playing at home, 4.5-point favorite. So now go out and do the next step if you want to move this season forward.
Hey, Keith, could you tell any difference with Loxley calling plays?
Yeah, clearly he was riverboat gambler. I mean, what did he go for? You know, four or five times on fourth down. He didn't go for the field goal when he would have been a chip shot, and they converted. Going on a 2-point conversion like that, I mean, in a 1-point outcome, that was huge. You know, they got to get the run game a little more established. I want to see Billy Edwards do more in the RPO game. But the receivers all lit up what had been a vaunted USC secondary. So they were spraying the ball around, you know, two or three step drops. And Billy was, you know, he was throwing darts and the receivers were catching. So, you know, guys, they had a few gaffes, you know, 12 men running on the field.
Yeah.
Those things are always going to seemingly happen. But they were down. They came back. They finished. These are things we just don't see, even if they're playing the Northwesterns of the world, let alone SC.
Keith, when I look at, like, I looked at the Gopher schedule and I look at the Terp schedule, this game is the swing game. I mean, whoever wins this probably gets a bowl because both of them have Rutgers and then both have games that they're not going to be favored in. So whoever wins this one gets the bowl, and whoever doesn't, they get the, as Bob would say, what, the Mayo Bowl?
Get that mayonnaise, baby.
Whoever wins this may still get the Mayo Bowl.
The Cool
Whip. I mean,
Bowl.
You got to... You got the Jiffy Lube Fast Lane Bowl on December 26 in Detroit. Just lovely. Oregon, wow. Iowa, Penn State, and Rutgers. You know, that's what remains for the Terps after tomorrow. So, yeah, you want to get this one. You want to get Rutgers. The other ones, you know, Oregon's just lethal. And they're never going to be able to keep up. And that'll be their first experiment flying west and see the reaction there. But I think Trader will be back by tomorrow, unfortunately. He's missed the last two. But Scruggs and Miller have really stepped up there. And I think the young corners have started to, you know, come of age. They got burned early and often this season. And, you know, Minnesota is only averaging, what, 17 points a game. They've had a similar schedule. You know, they eked by Southern Cal. Mm-hmm. They, you know, eked by UCLA, which is way down this year. They lost to Iowa. They beat Northwestern. Yeah, they lost to Carolina in the opening week and also beat Rhode Island. But very similar team, a lot of parallels beyond that line. So the line has to continue to progress. They took a step forward as well. So let's see onward progress. Let's don't see one step forward, two back. But going out on the road, you never know how this team is going to react. But I like the chances they took, And finally, they came out on, you know, it's always been like bum luck, oh, this. Now, some of it's self-inflicted. But finally, this time, some of the breaks went their way.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com, joins us every Friday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We are pressed for time, Keith. So we'll preview basketball next week. But Cam Edge is leaving the program. I guess the writing's on the wall for that one.
Yeah, and then you still got Long and Saray. You still got MJ Morris, who hasn't really played much this year. And then when you have someone like Malik, who's many consider a top five quarterback coming in next year, yeah, the writing was on the wall. Edge has a lot of potential, and I think he'll land well. But quick hoops thing.
Yes.
Tomorrow is Secret Squirrel scrimmage number 2 against Seton Hall. So we hope to have some minutiae and tidbits for that for next week. But that's tomorrow, their final preseason scrimmage before cranking it up November 4th. But don't tell anybody that.
We won't. I'm sure you won't say anything about it when we talk to you next Friday. Keith Cavanaugh, have a great weekend. Crank up some coal in the gang, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There's Keith Cavanaugh. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. News from the desk, top of the hour. Going to hear from the Ravens and Browns ahead of Sunday's game. We'll take your phone calls as well. 410-583-1057. Let's count that Friday money, hopefully by yourself. And then Daniel Oyefusi covers the Browns for ESPN.com. Are things dire in Cleveland? I think they are. I think it's obvious. They've lost 5 in a row. They're 1-6. But Kevin Stefanski can't be on the hot seat, can he? Top of the hour. And only we have time to get a call in before we go to your funhouse.
Absolutely.
By the way, the World Series starts tonight. You can hear that on The Fan. We'll preview game 1 and the series itself with Mike Exisa coming up here around 1:30. Daniel Oyefusi, talk Browns and Ravens with him at 12:30. Let's go get Shiloh, West Baltimore. Shiloh, what's up?
Boy, I done say, hey, Bob, I done fell asleep. Boy, I done been on hold about an hour, 15 minutes.
Then, Dodge, stop talking about being on hold. Get to your point.
Hey, no, I was just joking. Look, yeah. Hey, Vinny and Bob, let me ask y'all a question, right? So, this guy, Marcus Williams, right, for the type of money you paying him, right? Hey, Vinny, what can you do about this problem? Can you come some type of way, restructure his contract or do something about that money you're giving him and bring another safety here? Because, hey, Vinny, I know you watched the All-22, right? I've been having a lot of arguments with my friends about this guy. And I'm like, they say, well, sometimes when guys get paid, they don't play as good as they used to, or when they get hurt, as possible chances their game can decline. My whole thing is, like, he's stealing money to me. And I mean, like, what can you do? Is there anything you can do? Is there anything that can be fixed? Can they move him? Can they move him around? Like, what is the solution? Because I guarantee you, if you give me his stats right now, and it's not worthwhile listening to, and it's like he's just stealing money. So what could be done at this point of the season right now? And do they, hey, real quick, do they bring in another safety? They really don't have a lot of money. So do they bring in a pass rush, or do they bring in another safety, or do they stay put?
Hey, thanks, Shiloh.
I think it's I think they'll add something defensively. I think they'll add something just to kind of, well, if they play real good this weekend, then maybe not. But if they struggle this weekend too, then I think they add a piece just to kind of insert something in there to get them going.
Well, he got paid 2 years ago.
Right.
He played well for the most part.
And he played well last year with one arm,
right,
and stuff.
So this has kind of been the bottom out season for him.
He had Mike McDonald for 2 years, which he played well. Now he's got Zach Orr, and it looks like he's playing in deep center field.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, he's got 2 pass defense, you know, and he's supposedly a ball hawk. You know, he's been a ball hawk back there. He has 2 pass defense, no interceptions, no nothing. He's got supposedly 25 tackles. I don't know about that.
And he has through 7 games. I don't think it's a debate. I mean, you can throw some other candidates in. He's been the most disappointing player on the team.
Yes.
Both sides of the ball, I would think.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Just because what he is not playing to the level of his paycheck.
Nolan McGraw is. Quick Draw, how are you feeling on this Featured Artist Friday?
I'm feeling great. You know, all week long, the league has been looking into Roquan Smith, the tackle at the end of the game on Chris Godwin that led to him getting hurt. They were investigating to see if there was if this was a case of the hip drop tackle being used. Well, according to Ian Rappaport, a conclusion has been reached. Roquan Smith was fined a little over $16,000 for what the NFL deemed to be a hip drop tackle, resulting in a dislocated ankle for Chris Godwin. Of course, he wound up on IR as a result.
Hmm. Well, you watched the film and you didn't think it was anything out of the ordinary.
Did the Tampa linebacker get fined for hitting Lamar in the head?
That I did not see that. Don't believe so.
Now, when was it the Cincinnati guy hip-dropped on Andrews? Did he get fined, I wonder, after that one?
That's going back to last year.
Yeah, I mean, because that was, that, you know, the rule wasn't in effect yet, but that he still did it and put Andrews out.
And that was a little controversial at the time, too, because either before the Andrews hit or after, he kind of had a little shot at Lamar, too, on the sideline. And I don't quite remember if that got a flag or a penalty or a fine or anything, but, you know, people were up in arms about that guy, and his name is escaping me.
What was it, Logan Wilson?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it was.
That he was kind of going around, not hunting, but...
He was hip-dragging. A cheerleader took one on the sideline.
Well, after taking out Andrews, and that was one that, you know, took all the air out of the stadium.
Yeah.
And then to have the Lamar hit on top of that. But, you know, Roquan's getting fined. I think he'd probably be the first to tell you, hey, I'll take the fine over an in-game penalty. You know, they didn't throw the flag in-game. Maybe they felt like they needed to make up for it. They hand him the fine. All right. He's got the money. You move on.
5880, 105.7 The Fan. We have time for a fun house trip there, Nolan.
Sure.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, is it weird that I think the Browns would have a better shot with Deshaun Watson on the field instead of Jameis Winston? Maybe I'm still caught up on last season's meeting in Baltimore where Watson was dialed in for the entire second half.
I would probably say no. I mean, because this is Watson's been the quarterback of the 32nd ranked offense, 30th pass offense. Number one sack team in the league, worst third down team in the league. So I don't. And I, if I'm a betting man, if it wasn't up to the owner, the coaches would have benched him a few games back.
This text from Chris says, I feel like this week will be a carbon copy of the Tampa Bay game. Ravens dealing with a little bit of a primetime hangover. Have to fight back from an early deficit. Take a big lead, but Cleveland has some garbage time points for a backdoor cover.
I don't know if I see it that way. I think it's going to be. I just don't think the Ravens are going to score their normal 35 plus. That's what I see this week.
Spread still 8.5. I keep hitting refresh there.
But could you see them falling behind early, similar to Tampa?
If they fall behind early, big pass play, a missed tackle. I mean, it's some deficiency that they have, you know, defensively. Some breakdown that they've had defensively. I don't see them getting a chunk play. And I don't know if they're good enough to go 80 yards, you know, like on 10 plays without screwing up.
And one more from Jimmy in Pasadena talking World Series says, Bob, I love you, but I think you've lost your mind taking bets over Soto. Juan Soto is the best overall hitter in baseball right now, period.
Okay, Mookie Betts has some World Series success in his career. He's a former MVP himself. And it's not about, you know, what you did last week. It's what you're doing starting tonight. And Mookie Betts has always been a rise-to-the-occasion kind of guy. Wasn't doing this to disrespect Juan Soto. By the way, I hope he goes 0 for 20 with 15 strikeouts. But I think Mookie Betts will rise up. By the way, I did pick the Yankees at 6. What do you want from me? My team got swept 3 weeks ago.
Can't never play, satisfied.
Never satisfied. By the way, bleep the Yankees. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nets coming up next. If you're on the phones, we'll get you there. We're going to hear from Lamar. We're going to hear from Harbs. Going to hear from Cleveland. Going to hear from everybody talking about this game. Buy or sell, where's that Friday money? If I was looking to put a couple of bucks on the Yankees, well, I have it, a couple extra dollars to do so. Daniel Oyefusi, ESPN.com. Preview the game with him from a Cleveland perspective. And then Vinny's keys to victory. Ravens are trying to make it 6 in a row. How do they get it done? You'll find out at 12:45.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.